They are among the best at turning what otherwise would be garbage or pests or weeds into some of the most beautiful forms of protein available to you and I. And so we ask, can one safely keep kitchen chickens around the house?
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Radio Show with your host, Michael Olson. And now get ready for 1 hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Well, hello out there. You are tuned into the 1,159th edition of the Food Chain right here on the GCN Radio Network. Or hey, perhaps you're among our friends up there in Aberdeen who are tuned in as we stream along in the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com. But whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome aboard. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio. Folks, a few years back, I took the 3-hour drive from Washington, D.C. to visit the Polyface Farm of Joel and Teresa Salatin up in Swope, Virginia. I arrived to find that the pasture had been turned into a parking lot, and that many of the parked cars had D.C. area license plates. At the farm, I found a long line of people standing at the entrance to a barn, and having been a sailor, I did what sailors do. I got in line. The person waiting in front of me was a well-tended, middle-aged woman who, given the clothing she was wearing, was most likely from the big city. I asked her, "Excuse me, ma'am, but why are you standing and why is everybody standing in this line?" "We're standing in line to get the chickens, of course," she replied. "Are you from D.C.?" I asked. "Yes," she answered. "You drove 3 hours to buy chickens?" "No, no, no," she answered. "I drove 3 hours to buy Salatin chickens." Later that day, Joel showed up and showed me around the farm and taught me why people drive 3 hours to buy his chickens. And by the end of my stay at the Polyface Farms, I was wondering at how I could stuff 3 or 4 chickens into my suitcase and fly them back across the country to the West Coast. Well, that experience back then leads me to ask, can one safely keep real kitchen chickens, at home? And who better to ask than Lisa Steele, who is the proprietor of FreshEggsDaily.com, and no doubt the queen of kitchen chickens. Lisa, welcome to the Food Chain.
Thank you so much for having me. I enjoyed that story. I really enjoyed that.
Well, you know, there's a difference in how we produce chickens these days. You know, we have learned the industrial magic of putting them in a giant factories and having them, raising them in a way that we only spend 100 millionth of a cent more than we need to raise them. And we have scientists and economists and mathematicians and whatnot who can, you know, tell us just how much it takes to feed the chicken before it falls over dead. And that's how much we feed them, not 1 millionth of a cent more. But, you know, people like Joel Salatin go the other direction. And they pretty much give the animal everything it needs to survive and prosper and become healthy. And boy, you can just taste the difference when it gets right down to it. So I guess that's the kind of chickens you're talking about too, isn't it?
It is. We don't actually eat our chickens. They are truly kitchen chickens, pets, whatever you want to call them, but we definitely eat their eggs. And eggs fresh from your backyard, you can't compare them to store-bought eggs for the same reason, because our chickens are out there eating bugs and weeds and all kinds of stuff, not in a little cage, just eating this scientifically formulated feed day after day after day.
And so they have a variety of things to eat, and it comes out in the flavor of the eggs. What do you do with chickens when they're done laying?
Just keep feeding them and letting them eat bugs and okay. Walk around. And
so you don't turn them into chicken stew then, huh?
Okay. No, we don't. No, like I always like to say, our cat has never laid us an egg in his life, and we still feed him. So
there you go. Well, let me ask you this. You were raised with chickens, your grandparents' farm, as was I. And then, of course, you're probably a city girl and, you know, went off and worked in Wall Street and followed a Navy husband around and whatnot. But you come back to chickens. Now, when you were a kid, surely you must have helped grandparents butcher chickens, right?
No. If I did, I blocked it out. I'm sure we ate our grandparents' chickens. I don't ever remember actually helping with the processing, but I was over there a lot. We did collect the eggs, and I know we did eat. You know, they did feed their family, basically, with the meat and the eggs.
Sure. You sound like my daughter, who is a world-class chicken hugger, but would have nothing to do with chicken butchering. So, when did you, you know, what was your epiphany moment when you became, you know, kitchen chicken egg lady? When you decided that this is a jihad worth fighting?
Well, as you mentioned, I grew up on the chicken farm, went off to college, went to work on Wall Street, met my husband. He was in the Navy. And as you know, that means moving around a lot. And after a couple stops and not really having good employment opportunities and kind of sitting around the house bored and not being able to use my education, I said, you know what? We've got a nice little barn here. We've got some land in Virginia, actually not too far from Joel Salatin's place, which I never did get a chance to visit. But we were in Virginia. And so, you know, I wanted some goats. I wanted to make milk and cheese, and I thought it'd be so much fun. And my husband counteroffered me chickens, and that kind of was the beginning of the end. we got a couple chickens. I started writing about them, and here we are.
So it was in the writing about them. It was the raising them, but it's also in the observing of them and communicating what you observe to others that really glued you in then.
Right. Exactly. And honestly, I wasn't really hot about getting chickens. I really wanted those goats. I mean, I had chickens as a kid. I was not all that attached to them. You know, they chased us and they were mean. But after we got the chickens as an adult and I started being their sole caregiver and started spending a lot of time with them, you're right. They all have different personalities. Of course, they all have names, but you know, they're friendly and they do become pets. And you realize that, you know, like any other animal, they have personalities. I mean, they really, really do, which was kind of the epiphany. And that's kind of when I stopped eating chicken altogether.
Oh, okay. Got it. Well, I think you did much better. Had you gone with goats, you would have found out what too much personality is all about. Because goats have too much personality. So
yeah, they seem like a handful.
So you're now the proprietor of FreshEggsDaily.com. What do you provide for people with FreshEggsDaily.com?
Well, from the beginning, I wanted to raise the chickens naturally. You know, we were eating their eggs. I don't like using chemicals and all that in my own family life. And so we started just not using antibiotics, not using chemicals. Just it made sense because we were raising these chickens to eat their eggs and to be healthier. And I don't use chemicals on our garden or our lawn. And I think that was a different message that not everybody was talking about. A lot of the conventional wisdom was using a lot of antibiotics and commercial medications and things. And I just wasn't doing that. And I think it's something that a lot of the homesteaders and the foodies and everybody who wanted to raise chickens, it really spoke to them because it makes sense. And you know, as you said, you observe the chickens and what they're eating outside and the different plants that they go to. And then you read about the plant and find out, you know, the nutritional benefits. So I just think it was a little bit different message, which has become popular in the last 10 years since I started writing about it. Now it seems like everything is all about chickens and herbs and all that, which is great. That's so exciting.
And you become kind of famous. You're on stage. You're a star of stage, screen, and television, and newspapers, and radio. And you become famous lately because, well, a lot of people point to a salmonella outbreak. The CDC said was caused by kitchen chickens. People raising kitchen chickens. So you become the kind of the focus of that. We don't want to dwell on that so much right now, but we want to pick it up down the road. Can you give us a real quick thumbnail?
Well, I mean, it is true. Chickens can transmit salmonella, whether it's raw chicken from the grocery store, eggs from the grocery store. You can get salmonella from Ritz crackers and Goldfish crackers, apparently, nowadays. I had no idea. Salmonella is definitely in the news, and it is kind of scary because if they start really pointing a finger at backyard chickens, more areas are going to start banning them. And I think that some basic common sense and biosecurity really needs to be something that backyard chicken keepers think about, but I don't think they need to get crazy about it. I mean, people have kept chickens since the beginning of time.
Well, so you know, there's the rub, isn't it? Chickens are one of the most efficient processors of raw materials into pure, delicious protein. Can't think of any other critter that does it better, except maybe the hog. But that's another story. But having chickens is wherever people have gone, they brought their chickens with them. And somehow, we've managed to survive as a human race, even though once in a while we get salmonella. Folks, this is the Food Chain Radio Program. Michael Olson, your host. Today we have Lisa Steele, who is the proprietor of FreshEggsDaily.com. And I like to think of her as the queen of the kitchen chickens, because I think that's what she is. When we come back, we're going to look at how we go about raising kitchen chickens. Stay tuned.
Now, back to What's Eating What on the Food Chain with Michael Olson.
Welcome back, folks. We're talking chicken today, not just ordinary chicken, the kind you get at the fast food store or at the giant supermarket. We're talking about real chicken, the kind of chickens that eat real things and therefore can provide you with some of the best source of protein you can find anywhere. And by golly, that's what the egg is it not, Lisa?
It is. It is actually a complete protein, and it's affordable. You know, chickens are small, as you mentioned before the break. They are really efficient at converting what they eat into eggs, and if you can let them roam around your yard, chickens are omnivores, which means that they will as gladly eat a snake as they will a piece of grain or corn or whatever. So they're going to scavenge and forage, and you'll find that they eat a lot less chicken feed the more they can find in your yard, which makes it even more affordable.
You know, one of the things that Joel Salatin did with his pasture chickens was that he would graze a pasture with cattle, with his cows, and then a week or so later he'd bring the chickens in. And the chickens would go to the cow pies, and they'd scratch and scratch and scratch it and spread the cow pie all over the place and then feed on all of the grubs and worms that were in those cow pies. So truly was, you know, recycling everything the way he was raising his chickens, and kind of like to what you like to see. I heard that a lot of people are picking up chickens lately because of the spread of ticks. Is that true?
Yes. Chicken, billy bugs, I mean, they don't eat all bugs, but they do eat a wide variety of bugs. They like Japanese beetles, and they do eat ticks. So they're good for that reason, too, even if you don't have a big farm with cow patties.
Right.
If you just have a small, you know, urban backyard, they will do a lot of tick work, and also they eat a lot of bug larvae. And in your garden, if you let them in the fall after you've harvested, they'll eat a lot of the bugs that were planning on overwintering in your garden, so you'll have less garden pests in the spring. Chickens are really, really hard workers. I mean, if you just kind of do a little research or reading or watch what they're doing, you can put them to work, and they really are very helpful around the house.
So they give us so much. No wonder we've taken them with us wherever we have gone. They give us food. They give us some of the best protein that we can possibly find in the egg and in the meat. And what do we give them? Why do they hang around?
Well, we keep them safe. We hope
there you
we
go.
Have a nice safe coop for them so the foxes don't eat them at night.
And just about everything predates upon chickens too, right? Almost every.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, they're pretty much, other than the bunny rabbit, I think they're lowest on the food chain.
So, very easy. And so that's what we provide for them. We protect them. We're building chicken coops and whatnot, which kind of takes us to how you go about raising kitchen chickens. Do you build a coop in your backyard? You have to, don't you?
Or you could convert a garden shed or a playhouse, or, I mean, they're not too picky. If you've got an extra stall in your barn, they just need something that nothing can get into, not a fox, not a dog, not a weasel, you know, not an owl. You've got to make sure it's predator-proof, lots of welded wire and secure latches. But, I mean, they're not really picky about what it looks like. You can build one, you can buy one, you know, repurpose one.
They just need to be secure. You have to secure them.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever see what happens when one is not put into the chicken coop at night? Kind of gets scared, doesn't it?
Oh, they do. They have people. I think that's one thing that amazes people when they first start raising chickens. They always ask, "How am I going to get them back in this coop at night?" And it's amazing. Right around dusk, they all just kind of head into the coop and they hop up on their little bar and they go to sleep.
That's because they know what's out there in the night. So that, take me away, protect me, protect me. So it doesn't take much to build a shelter. And pretty much what you have in a little shed, a little tool shed, or just make a big box or something. What is the fewest amount of chickens that you can have?
I would say 3. I mean, they're flock animals, so you know, they do need companionship, and I think 3 is a good starter flock number.
Are they like bees and beehives? So if you get 3, you end up with 17 in a while.
Yes. You want different breeds or chickens that lay different colors, or, I mean, realistically, what you should do is figure out, you know, how many people you have in your family and how many eggs you eat a week. A chicken lays about an egg every day, not every day, but almost every day, and just kind of do a little math and then realize that you are going to start eating way more eggs than you ate before you had chickens because they're so delicious. I mean, we'll have eggs every meal some days.
And what about the American Heart Association? Are they still down on eggs?
No, they recently came out with something saying that dietary cholesterol doesn't have as large an effect on your health as previously thought. A lot of it is genetic. I mean, you definitely should talk to your doctor. That's a good point. Ask him how many eggs you should eat a day. But also eggs laid by chickens that free range and are eating out eating grass and bugs and things do have less cholesterol than eggs laid by a chicken that's eating like a corn-fed commercial feed diet. So that's something to keep in mind as well.
So it's a great way for you to eat bugs without having to eat the bugs, right?
Kind of true. I mean, the chicken does pass the nutrients in the food that it eats.
Right.
Into the, I mean, not right into it, indirectly, but yep.
There you go. Now, here at our county fair, we have always have a chicken display, and there's like a zillion kinds of chickens. So where does one start for kitchen chickens?
Well, a good place to start is one of the hatcheries. There's MeyerHatchery.com or MyPetChicken.com. They obviously sell chicks and chickens and eggs and things, but they're really great resources just for researching the breeds. You know, they have sections on brown egg layers, white egg layers, heat-tolerant chickens, cold-hardy chickens, good temperament chickens, you know, large breeds, small breeds. So you can just do a lot of research just right on your computer and kind of narrow down things that might be important for you or your family that you might be looking for in the chicken.
Where would you start? I mean, that's, you know, there's so many breeds, which means there's so many possibilities. How would you go about starting? Say you never thought about it before, but what would be the first, you know, some of the most important considerations to put on the table?
Well, for me, I just really like a pretty egg basket.
Ah.
And a pretty flock.
Aesthetics,
so
right?
I really, it's all aesthetics. Yeah, what the chicken looks like. I mean, let your kids loose. Just let them look at the website and be like, I want one of those and one of those and one of those. And then once you kind of, the ones you like the appearance of, then dig a little deeper. And if you live in, you know, Arizona, maybe you should think about some heat-tolerant breeds. And those websites do have them separated out, so it's real easy. There's no right or wrong breed, though. It's not a quiz. There's no right answers.
So the chickens come via FedEx, wherever you happen to be.
Right in a box, right? Yep.
And how old are they when they come?
They're just ours. They basically hatch, like the hatcheries will plan Monday as hatching day, so all the eggs will hatch. They'll put the chicks in the box, send it usually overnight or 2 day max, and your little box of chicks comes, and so they're, you know, less than 72 hours old.
Woo!
Real little.
What do you what do you feed a chick that's less than 72 hours old? I mean, where do you start? You don't have a bottle like you do a calf.
No, they don't. No, so just before, just a little science here, that just before the chick hatches, it actually absorbs the yolk of the egg that it hatches out of. And that has all the nutrients it needs for the first 72 hours. So that allows, that really, what it does is it allows the mother hen to keep sitting on eggs if they haven't all hatched. So she doesn't have to run out and start getting food, you know, for the first chick that hatches. It gives them time to hatch. But what it does for the post office is it allows them time to deliver your chicks. So when you get your chicks, I just got some this spring. They, I think I got them Tuesday afternoon. They hatched Monday. I got them Tuesday afternoon. They didn't even eat till Thursday. I bought, you know, some baby chick feed, and I put it in a bowl with water. They did have a couple drinks, but nobody was even interested in food for the first day or so because they've had that yolk that kind of keeps them going.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break right back. This is Michael Olson, Food Chain Radio Program, with Lisa Steele, the proprietor of Fresh Eggs Daily. Do stay tuned.
We're on the farm with Joel Salatin.
Would you like to buy homemade soup, backyard chicken, and the neighbor's artisanal lunch meat? The Farm to Consumer Legal Defense Fund protects your right to acquire the food of your choice from the source of your choice. I'm Joel Salatin from Polyface Farm, and I urge you to defend the right of neighbors to engage in direct food commerce. Join today at farmtoconsumer.org. The food of your choice from the source of your choice. That's farmtoconsumer.org. Farmtoconsumer.org. Thank you.
When you buy local American-grown flowers, flowers will grow and flourish in America. Hello, I'm Deborah Prinzing, author of Slow Flowers for Certified American-Grown Flowers. When you buy local flowers, you're helping our country's family farms reduce the transportation footprint of flowers and enjoy fresher, longer-lasting bouquets. So please, next time you shop for flowers, think local. Think Certified American-Grown Flowers. Visit AmericanGrownFlowers.org to learn more.
You can dream it, build it, own it, Metro Farm it. You can sow it, feed it, grow it, Metro Farm it. You can harvest it and dry it. You can sell it, Metro Farm it.
Learn how to dream it, build it, sow it, seed it, grow it, harvest it, sell it, Metro Farm it. Yes, you can do it. Dream it, build it, earn it, own it, Metro Farm it.
Oh, learn it, do it, earn it, Metro Farm it. Dream it, build it, own it, it's easy, you can do it, Metro Farm it.
It's all in Metro Farm, the guide to growing for the city. Get your copy today at metrofarm.com.
It's easy, you can do it, Metro Farm it.
Let's go back for more of What's Eating What on the Food Chain with Michael Olson.
Well, what about you out there? Have you ever thought about having kitchen chickens? Some chickens out in the backyard that could provide you with fresh eggs, and maybe even you could harvest it and eat it. Who knows? If you're especially daring. Been a while since I harvested and butchered chickens. What I hated most about it was the plucking of the feathers. Ew. But loved the fresh fried chicken that we used to get on the farm Sunday afternoon. Oh, my goodness. What a wonderful taste that was. And the eggs, the precious eggs from chickens that have been out foraging for bugs and weeds and all kinds of different things that they turn into precious protein that you just cannot get from an industrial chicken. Just not there. The nutrients are not there. They just cannot put the nutrients in the chicken. So you have a choice. You can buy that cheap egg. You know, Lisa, I used to do demonstrations for high school kids. I go to the big supermarket and I buy cheap eggs. And then I go to the farmer's market and buy farmer's market eggs. And I would take these eggs to the class and with a couple saucers. And I say, hold up both egg. And they both look, of course, exactly the same. And then I would say, can you tell the difference between these eggs? And the students would all shake their head, no. And I said, by the time I'm finished with you here today, you will know the difference. And then I talked about how the different ways in which the chickens are raised. And I asked, well, what difference do you think that will make in the thickness of the egg shell, in the color of the yolk, and how the yolk stands up? So we crack each egg and put it into a saucer, a different saucer, and then we'd have the students file by, and every one of those students could tell which egg came from the farmer's market and which egg came from the industrial farm. It's right there in front of your face. You could see it, you could touch it, you could feel it. And so you just can't get that other than a pasture-raised or a backyard-raised chicken at the supermarket. Don't think you can. Or do you know something I don't?
No, I don't believe you can. And I think one of the biggest things is that the egg is fresh from the farmer's market or the backyard. That's one thing that they are never going to be able to replicate from commercial farms. And the freshness of an egg also affects its flavor and the consistency of the yolk and the white and all that. But you're 100% right. And I think that's why chicken keeping is so popular, because people can see, just like a tomato, you know, if a tomato has been sun ripened on the vine or, you know, grown for the grocery store. Eggs are the same way. You just have to have a fresh egg once, and you know that you want your own chickens. So they kind of sell themselves. And I don't think you can replicate. You can try putting marigold or alfalfa or parsley in commercial feed to try to make the yolks a little more orange. But bottom line, you cannot replicate that entire package of the delicious, fresh, gorgeous egg.
No one will think you can, but they certainly do try. And that's the nature of the game, right? So, You don't think it really makes much difference which kind of breed you select to raise in your as a kitchen chicken? As long as it best fits your climate and your family's needs, right?
Correct. Yep. Yeah, okay. I mean, they all kind of get along, and there is no right answer or wrong answer as far as breed.
Okay, so whatever's most fun for you and most convenient and most durable is the one you want. What about feeding a chicken? So back a kitchen chicken. Of course, you want them to wander about and eat as much of the native insects as you could possibly find. But what about supplementing with real food, with their daily meal? What do you feed them?
So I do feed my chickens commercial chicken feed. I put that out every morning for them. Chicken will eat about a half a cup of food a day. So the more they're out in the grass, the less commercial feed they're going to eat, which obviously saves me money and it's more healthy. But the commercial feed is balanced. And I think that it's important to at least offer commercial feed to your chickens. They likely won't touch it if they've got bugs and things to eat, but at least it's there. Then I also supplement with kitchen scraps, garden scraps, you know, tips and ends and tops and greens and anything wilted or a little bit expired or, you know, nothing moldy or like really gross, but anything that's kind of iffy, I do a refrigerator clean out. Chickens will eat almost anything.
So they're like compost piles, only on legs, right?
Yeah. Mobile compost piles. That's
yeah.
Right.
And it doesn't take as long either, so that's right there. I guess that leads me to the other issue, is what about chicken poop all over the place? How do you manage that?
Well, so I don't know. I mean, we have a pretty big property, and we don't like scoop it like you would with the dogs. It's very small. It dries pretty quickly. It disintegrates. When I clean the coop, I mulch my garden in the off season with all the straw and chicken manure and feathers and everything, which is wonderful for the garden. And then during the growing season, obviously you don't want to put fresh manure on your garden. So I do have a little compost pile. But basically, I mean, your lawn is going to be gorgeous wherever your chickens are roaming, because as they're eating the bugs and stuff, they're also walking around and pooping.
There it is, just like Joel Salatin's grass farming. You know, you use the animals to enrich the soil, and you get rich soil that feeds the grass, and the grass feeds the animals, and What a wonderful cycle you get going doing so. So what about watering? Do you have to keep good water, good sources of water and whatnot?
Yes. Yeah, they need fresh water year-round, you know, unfrozen in the winter and cool in the summer. So, you know, like any animal, you're always hauling buckets of water. But, I mean, chickens are small, so they don't drink that much. I don't know exactly how much water a chicken drinks a day. But, I mean, compared to a horse that I think will drink, you know, gallons a day, one horse, mm-hmm. you know, if you're an older person or a woman and you're kind of small and you don't want to be carrying five-gallon buckets, you know, a little pail of water is going to be enough for your flock for probably more than one day. So it's not an extraordinary amount of water.
So is this a lot of work?
No.
If you organize it.
I mean, once you have your system down, once you have your coop built and all that, I mean, I wake up, I let the chickens out, I fill up their feeder, fill up their waterer. Usually there's no eggs that early, but then mid-morning, I'll go down and check for eggs. Late afternoon, I'll check their, you know, food and water, make sure that they're okay with that. Maybe check for eggs again, and then lock them up at night. And I mean, that's really it on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm. Well, what about if you're going to go on vacation to Maui? Who's going to take care of you? So you have somebody in the neighborhood that watches over your chickens for you?
Yeah. And I mean, if you tell them that they can have all the fresh eggs they can collect, you know, if someone can come over in the morning and then again in the afternoon, and where the chickens put themselves to bed, it's not like someone's going to have to be rounding up your chickens. Although if you are going away, I would recommend keeping them in a pen or a run. You know, if they're roaming around your yard and nobody's home, you'll probably come home to no chickens because the predators are out there.
Yeah, the predators will figure it out right away. Well, you know, as we started the program with, lots of news about salmonella outbreaks here lately. So I'd like to pick up that when we come back, because it is an issue. When you're raising animals, you have to make certain that you don't catch the diseases that they're prone to. And chickens and poultry are prone to diseases that sometimes escape and plague us royally. So how can we raise kitchen chickens without getting into trouble? That will be the subject when we talk with Lisa Steele, proprietor of Fresh Eggs Daily, when we come back from these important messages.
And now, more of What's Eating What on the Food Chain with Michael Olson.
Well, the news, as the news always is not too good when it comes to the keeping of chickens. The CDC reports that there's a lot of 212 cases in 44 states with 34 hospitalizations caused by people keeping backyard chickens and ducks. What on earth is causing this? Lisa Steele, do you have any idea?
Well, I do. I mean, and this is nothing new. Chickens do transmit salmonella, raw chicken meat, supermarket eggs, all sorts of things cause salmonella. The thing is so many more people are keeping backyard chickens now that more cases are being attributed to that. And I think the problem is people are not being careful. They are treating their chickens like pets. I mean, I do. I admit. I name them all. I like to pick them up.
And you don't eat them, right?
No, we don't eat them, no. But you have to draw the line. Our chickens
you know what they say about 4-H'ers? The 4-H'ers will say, as soon as you name it, you can't eat it.
Exactly.
There you go. So when Lisa,
I think that's part of the problem is that
So when Lisa named her chickens, that was the end of eating them, right?
Yes. No chicken served at our house. I mean, honestly, I don't eat. I hardly ever eat chicken. Like, I don't go out and order chicken either. I just, It doesn't seem like a food to me anymore. But anyway, that's another story. So I think part of the problem is that, you know, the new kind of breed of chicken keeper who maybe didn't grow up on a farm, they consider the chickens pets instead of livestock. So they're letting them in their house and their kids are sitting on the couch watching television with them and the chickens are on the kitchen counter. And I mean, that's just, you know, it's not good biosecurity. So
really, they let them in the house?
Your hands. Oh my goodness. Yes. And it's concerning to me because I think it's going to hurt backyard chicken keeping in general because of this salmonella issue. You got to keep your chickens outside. They do transmit salmonella, you know, through their droppings, through their feathers. You got to wash your hands. You got to teach your kids to wash their hands.
Well, salmonella is endemic in chickens, is it not? I mean, if you have chickens, there's salmonella there.
I would assume so. People say, well, my chickens are healthy. They don't have salmonella, so I, you know, don't worry about washing my hands. And I would go on the premise that all chickens carry salmonella. They can carry it without being sick. And same with the eggs. I mean, you've got to wash the eggs before you use them. You know, there's just basic common sense that I think is lacking because a lot of people didn't grow up on a farm and they don't consider their chickens livestock, which they really are. So the CDC is right. Wash your hands. Don't kiss your chickens. Keep your chickens outside. Have chicken boots. You know, don't wear your chicken boots in the house and then out to the coop.
If you're not raised on a farm, you probably, you know, don't get the opportunity to pick up on these real common sense animal handling processes. A dog is something that stays in the house with you, sleeps in the bed with you or whatever. But chickens, another story. And because they're out there, you know, scratching around and getting into who knows what. So they're there. They're out there in it. And people just forget that.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right. Do you teach chicken handling classes?
I do teach some adult education, not necessarily chicken handling, but more how to get started raising them, you know, the things they need, what to do in the summer, what to do in the winter. I should probably add a couple of slides just about basic biosecurity and keeping your family safe. I mean, to me, it's so bad to say, but to me, it does seem like common sense. But all this salmonella scare has come out, and you keep reading these articles, and you realize that, you know, it isn't common sense, unfortunately.
Well, okay, but do you think there really is a big problem with salmonella? Or sometimes I think these articles are used to discourage people from taking care of themselves. You know, you don't want to raise chickens because chickens are dangerous. And if you raise a dangerous chicken, who knows what can happen to you? It's better to go down to the big box store and buy industrial chickens because they're safe. I mean, sometimes I think that's what's going on.
Right. I don't believe it's a complete government conspiracy. I mean, but salmonella is a real thing, and you can get sick. And if you're young or old or have a compromised immune system, yes, you can get really sick from it. So I do think you have to wash your hands and use precautions. But no, I don't think keeping chickens is dangerous. I mean, I have people email me and say, you know, I'm having a baby and we have chickens and I'm nervous and worried. And I mean, farm wives have been having babies and little kids around chickens since the beginning of time. So this is all nothing new. I do believe that the spin on it is meant to really kind of put a black mark on chickens. And probably percentage wise, if you looked at how many people are keeping chickens now as opposed to a decade ago and the number of cases, the percentage probably has gone down, actually.
Well, I'm sure.
So many more people keeping chickens.
Well, you know, I just remember, you know, being raised on my grandparents' farm. And there was chickens everywhere and chicken droppings everywhere and as well as all the other animals. I mean, it was, you know, an industrial disaster area in today's terms of cleanliness, but nobody ever got sick. And I just, you know, I scratched my head at that.
Immune systems. Now, immune systems were stronger back then, too, because kids were spending time outside in the dirt. They were eating dirt. They were playing in dirt. You know, we were outside as kids all the time at my grandparents' farm. Or, you know, so I think that immune systems aren't as strong nowadays as they used to be. And in a strong immune system in your chickens or your family is your number one line of defense, obviously.
Amen. And, you know, that's one of the things the CDC points out as being a problem is that a number of young children below the age of 5 who are susceptible to the chicken salmonella. The number is quite high there. Well, we're going to take one more quick break, and then when we come back, we're going to ask Lisa, how did we get started here with our kitchen chicken project? Right back.
So much to say, so little time to say it, on The Food Chain with Michael Olson.
Well, I have a small backyard. I bet you have a small backyard, too. I guess if you have any kind of yard, maybe there's the opportunity to have a few kitchen chickens. Lisa Steele, where do we get started?
Well, the good thing about chickens is they're very small. So like you said, small backyard, you can still have chickens. Earlier, I said that three was probably the minimum flock size. I prefer maybe five or six. I think that's a good starter flock size. So maybe everyone in the family can pick their own, you know, special chicken, have their own breed and name the chicken or whatever.
You could have chicken races then.
Chicken races. So for your coop, you only need about 3 square feet per chicken. So if you have, say, you know, 5 chickens, that's 15 square feet. So roughly a 4x4 coop, not very much bigger than a doghouse. That's plenty big enough for your chickens. So you figure out where you're going to get your baby chicks, you know, your local feed store or ordering them online, as I mentioned earlier. You've got some time because they have to be under heat and they're not going to be outside in the coop by themselves when they're little. But, you know, about 8 weeks, they'll go into the coop. So you've got some time to either build or buy or repurpose the coop and then get some chicken feed and a waterer and an egg basket. And you're about ready to go. I mean, it really, there's not a whole lot to the whole setup.
Mm-hmm. You know, I guess what I was thinking about is that if you're going to have a chicken coop, you may as well have a beehive. And if you had a chicken coop and a beehive, you're really going to be in business as a good place to start with some wonderful food. And as long as you have all that activity going, you may as well plant a garden, right?
Exactly. Agreed. And the bees will pollinate your garden. We don't raise bees, but I do a lot to encourage the native bees because we do have a lot of flowers. We have a vegetable garden. I put up bug houses. You know, I encourage all the pollinators, the hummingbirds and the butterflies and anything you can do like that to just have your outside be like an oasis for wildlife is going to be beneficial.
What does all of this bring to you, Lisa, besides protein?
And a career.
And a career. Yeah. There you go. You're doing pretty good with it right now. You know, you got fresh protein and you have a career. Life is good. But besides that, when you walk out, when you walk outside,
it's so fulfilling. It's a sense of kind of living how my grandparents did, providing for your family, being self-sufficient, eating healthy food. It's just so fulfilling. You know, we'll have some drinks out and back after dinner sometime in the summer, and the chickens are just roaming around the yard, and, you know, there's dragonflies buzzing, and the sun's going down. And, I mean, it's just so relaxing and peaceful, and it gives you this sense of, like, you're just making a positive difference in the world. I mean, it sounds so corny, but I just feel like, I don't know. It's a sense of self-satisfaction. Mm-hmm.
And life is buzzing all around you.
Mm-hmm. And that synergy you mentioned between the garden and the bees and the chickens and the weeds and the poop and the, I mean, it's just like your life makes a circle.
Wonderful symphony of life. Lisa Steele, proprietor of Fresh Eggs Daily and the now queen of the kitchen chickens. Thank you so much for joining us. Really enjoyed the conversation. And who knows, maybe I'll get a chicken some place along the line. But I probably would just eat it, as I have in the past. Lisa, thank you so much for joining us. And folks, remember Michael Olson's third law of the food chain, cheap food isn't. Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the award-winning Food Chain Radio Show with Michael Olson. And if your friends missed the show, tell them to log on the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com for a listen. Now, go out and find some food with its farmer's face on it and live.